Game on!
Yeah, game on!
Blue Jackets fans, your time is now.
That's an attention getter.
This is CBJ in 30, presented by Tel-Hio Credit Union. Find out more and open an account online at telhio.org.
Do it. Do it.
Now, here's your host. He may not be the biggest.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
But he's certainly the best.
I know he's got balls of steel, that guy.
Bob McGilligan.
Another off-season edition of CBJ and 30 presented by Tel-Hio Credit Union. I'm Bob McElligott. This is a special show because it is an off-season Monday mailbag edition of the show in which I'm going to answer your questions, and there are plenty of them, and I'm sure there will be more as the Blue Jackets get set for some activity this week at Nationwide Arena. Development camp is opening on Tuesday. As I do this, it is tomorrow, but it's going to be Tuesday, June 25th, when there will be on-ice sessions from 10 to 11 a.m. and then another from 11:30 to 12:30 in the afternoon. Two groups on the ice at the Ohio Health Ice House at Nationwide Arena. They'll be on the ice on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and everything will culminate with a three-on-three tournament on Friday afternoon. So some hockey going on at Nationwide Arena this week, and some very special players coming in to be a part of that, and some guys that are hoping to be a part of the Blue Jackets when September and October roll around later on in this year. And three guys that are going to be focused upon time and time again for good reason, because they all fall into the category that I was just talking about: Alexander Texier, Emil Bemström, and Liam Foudy. And a little bit later this week, you will hear from all three of those players here on CBJ and 30, presented by Tel-Hio Credit Union. I will get together with all of them and let you hear from them as they get into this development camp, and as, more importantly, they get prepared for the camp in September, hoping to win a job coming into October. And it's going to be a lot of competition. There's going to be a lot of opportunity, I think, for those guys, and you'll hear from them coming up a little bit later in the week. Also, tomorrow, the NHL schedule is going to be released. So later in the week, when I talk to the prospects, we'll talk about the schedule, if there's anything that's really pressing, or, you know, the schedule is the schedule to me. But usually you go through and you look through how many back-to-back games you're going to have to play, how many times you have to play back-to-back games. You go through, you look at some of the longer road trips and the timing of those long road trips, you know, where they fall on the calendar and all those things. So we can do all of that a little bit later in the week as well. But I'm going to start off by telling you something about Tel-Hio Credit Union. I always tell you about the great services and go to their website at telhio.org and all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you right now about a partnership that I'm in with Tel-Hio, and it is going to be a partnership that's going to help to benefit the Ronald McDonald House Charities of Central Ohio. And I am going to participate in the inaugural Dean's Charity Steer Show. Now, do you know what that is? Well, I'll tell you. It's on July 30th at the Ohio State Fair. I am actually going to show a steer. That's right. I am going to lead a steer around and show a steer, a live animal. Yes, that is what I'm going to do. I have a 4-H family that I'm working with, and I am going to show a steer in the show for charity, to help raise funds for the Ronald McDonald House Charities of Central Ohio. And I would love for you to join me in this venture, be a part of it. You know, it's about raising money, I'll be honest. So I would like for you to be a part of that with me. I will get this information out on Twitter. I already did last week. I will make sure that I continue to put it out on Twitter at Bobby Mac Sports. But thanks to the fine folks at Tel-Hio Credit Union for asking me to partner with them and participate in this. I'm very much looking forward to it. Again, the show is on July 30th at the Ohio State Fair. And again, I'll have all the information for you. I'll put it up on Twitter for you, and you can follow along right there and hopefully make a donation to help out some of those that are less fortunate than you and I. Okay? So now, speaking of Twitter and at Bobby Mac Sports, let me go there right now and answer your questions that you have coming off the draft, in which the Blue Jackets, they did not make a trade to get, well, they did make a trade, but they didn't get into the first or second rounds. They ended up trading their first pick. They traded down a little bit so they could take three players in the draft. So they didn't, what, they took 2 fourth-rounders and a seventh-rounder. That's all they took. So they come away from the draft pretty empty-handed, but that's because they didn't have picks. They gave them up in trades, all right? And that's a lot of what we're going to focus on now, because with the draft behind us and the development camp opening, the next thing is free agency. July 1st is the first day of free agency. The actual courting period is open now, where teams can talk to upcoming unrestricted free agents. And the Blue Jackets trio of Artemi Panarin, Sergei Bobrovsky, and Matt Duchene are being courted. No surprise. That's the expectation. And maybe none of them come back. So we will find that out here shortly. Finally, the end of this whole saga is coming. The saga that started last year at this time. The end is near. One way or the other, the end is near. First question today comes from Jeremy. He says, is there a player out there that you would like the Blue Jackets to sign simply because you think they would be fun to interview and interact with? Jeremy, that's a great question. It really is. And it was the first one in. It's not some softball I'm picking to start off the show here. It's a great question because there are guys that you do like to interview and interact with more than other guys. I mean, some guys are just more personable, quite frankly. Some guys just will let you in a little bit, and other guys just continually hold you off, and you can only get so much. But when it comes to anybody that you'd like them to get because of that, my answer is no. I just want this team to stay where it is and get better from there. And if that involves bringing in somebody that happens to be a good interview and is a fun person to interact with, that's great. That's bonus. That's a cherry on top of the sundae. But there's nobody that I want for that purpose. Because at the end of the day, you can be the world's biggest jerk, but if you can play and help the team to win, I'm fine with that. I am fine with that. So that's where I stand on all that stuff. Next question is from Cam, not the Cam you think it might be. It says, after seeing the Blue Jackets offseason so far, do you see the team entering a rebuild or continuing to be a playoff team? That's going to depend, and it's going to depend on a lot of things. First and foremost, the goaltending. Are they really going with Jonas Korpisalo and Elvis Merzlikins as the goaltenders? Are they really going with two young guys, or will there be a trade made, or will there be a free agent signing that happens to be a goaltender that changes that thinking? That's the first thing. To me, that jumps out immediately. That is the most important thing. When you have a team that has been built around its goaltender for as long as this one has, and now that goaltender is apparently headed elsewhere, first and foremost is, what is the situation going to be in goal? Other teams in the division have strengthened themselves. New Jersey had the first overall pick. They take Jack Hughes. Then they turn around, they make a deal with Nashville. They get P.K. Subban. 2 years ago, they were in the playoffs. This past year, they were not. They look to be stronger on paper. Who else is going to be stronger on paper? Although, don't forget that the New York Islanders didn't look any stronger on paper when they lost John Tavares. And then they wound up being a stronger team, because the chemistry that they had there and the guys that were there, they were able to play together and without their biggest star, the guy that was their biggest star, and they were able to still get into the playoffs. So I don't know where the Blue Jackets stand on that. You know, if these young players come through and contribute the way the organization thinks that they are going to, then you're going to, I think you're going to stay pretty close to where you were. If they don't, then maybe it's a step back. And so I don't know where they are. I really don't know where they are. And without seeing what they do in free agency, it's a tougher question to answer right now. If Yarmo goes out and he spends some money on somebody over the weekend, and it changed it, or not over the weekend, but on Monday, if he goes out and he gets somebody that's going to be a significant upgrade somewhere, that changes the question, changes the answer to the question. Sorry. So I don't know right now. There's so many ifs and buts with this franchise at the moment, to be honest with you. And don't take that as though I'm, you know, I think it's doom and gloom if the big three walk away. And I'll explain that as we get a little bit further along here. Justin Needham says, what prospects are you looking for to take the next big step in their careers? The guys that I was talking about earlier, and I'm going to talk to later in the week, Alexander Texier, it was a tremendous preview of what he has the potential to do. What we saw at the end of the regular season, what we saw in the first round of the playoffs, it was a great sneak peek. Now, for him, he's got to get better. Once he played against the Boston Bruins and it really became a man's game, it was a different type of a game for him. Once there was more physical play, more hitting and all that stuff, and that is to be expected. There's no doubt about it. Tampa didn't make it tough on him. They don't hit people. They play like, well, what Texier was used to coming out of Europe, where you get the opportunity to skate around with room and make plays and you don't get hit very much. The Boston Bruins didn't subscribe to that theory, and that changed Alexander's play. It just changed his mind in how he was going to have to handle things. And I think that's I know it's a good thing for him. It may not have been good at the time, but that's how he's going to have to play in this league. He's going to have to play taking the body more, giving the body a little bit more, all that stuff. So I am excited to see what he does after that experience of playing the Boston Bruins, how that alters what he does, how it has helped him grow and figure out what he needs to do going into the NHL training camp in September. That's a guy that I'm really looking forward to seeing, because I've already seen it a little bit. I've already seen him score an NHL goal. For Bemstrom, I'm excited about seeing what he brings and if he is really what the organization is selling, if he can get up to speed as quickly as they are alluding to the fact that he can. But again, with Texier, I've already seen it in this league a little bit. That's why my edge goes to him, and I want to see where he goes this year after where he was for that very brief time last year. Next question coming in from Chris Denman. He says, were you surprised that the Blue Jackets did not make any significant trades other than an exchange of picks during the draft? No, Chris, I wasn't, because when you look around, there it was another year of everybody talking about how much activity there was going to be, and there was little to no activity at the draft. Carolina made that deal to get Patrick Marleau, which they're going to buy out. JT Miller goes to the Vancouver Canucks. But really, all in all, there wasn't this big flurry of trades that everybody was talking about. And I think part of the reason for that, and a big part of the reason, was that the salary cap wasn't settled until Saturday, and nobody really knew what the cap was going to be for sure. They finally settled on $81.5 million. But there were teams, and there are some teams that are up against it, that just didn't know what they were dealing with, and that's why there could be more activity here over the course of the next week than there was at the draft. Shelley Ryan Frank says, what's your feeling about Matt Duchene? Does he stay or go? Actually, she wrote, does he go or stay? Shelley, I don't know. I felt good about him staying up until Jeff Skinner signed his contract for 8 years at $9 million a year. And then when Kevin Hayes signed 7 years at $7.1 million, I felt worse about it. My thing with Matt Duchene is I think you have to be very, very careful. I think you have to really decide how much you're willing to pay Matt Duchene, what you think is a reasonable number, and maybe once you come to that reasonable number, you have to go a little bit above it because of the market. But once you go a little bit above it, once you get to the number that you are comfortable with, once you get to the number that you've figured, we can give him this, it's fair to him, it's market value, it's not something that we're going to feel that we are strapped to 4 or 5 years from now. Once you get to that number and it's offered, if it's rejected, I think you just walk away from it. I really think you do, because and I've thought about this a lot in the last week or so. I am, personally, once you reach a $10 million a year mark on Matt Duchene, I'm not that comfortable with that. Because in 4 years, I think you're going to be looking back and saying, you still got 4 years of this at $10 million? So he's a great player, and the Blue Jackets are weak at center. I understand that. But I just think that you have to be common sense reasonable about it. And you've got to look down the road, and you got to look at and see, where are you really right now, and where are you going to be 4 or 5 years from now? And is that contract going to become a problem 4 or 5 years down the road from now? So, Shelley, I felt good about him staying, but after I saw those prices that are being paid, I don't feel as good about it, because he can probably get some more money somewhere else. I'm guessing he might be able to get more somewhere else. And I don't know that the Blue Jackets are going to go over the moon just to make sure that he doesn't walk. And we're going to find that out in the next couple of days. Nick Foligno's number one fan says, do you think that Liam Foudy will make the team this season? Again, I don't know. He's got great speed. We saw him go into Cleveland at the end of the year and score a couple of goals. So he made a very good impression. And again, you're going to hear from him during this development camp on this show, and we'll see what he thinks about making it. But again, there's opportunity for him. There's opportunity for him to make an impression and try to earn himself a spot. Do I think he makes it? I don't know. I think it's going to be an uphill climb for him, but I'm not saying that he can't climb the hill. Angry Ginger, likelihood of Matt Duchene signing. I answered that. Garland is better. What about these Twitter handles, huh? Do you think the Blue Jackets will bring in another goalie, keep Kincaid, or run the Corposalo-Elvis duo? Listen, as much as you guys loved Keith Kincaid, and I love Keith Kincaid as a person, he was great. He never played a single game. He never played 1 minute. I don't understand why everybody is hell-bent on Keith Kincaid being part of this when he wasn't even a part of it when he was a part of it. Okay? So, listen, good guy, great sense of humor, very creative guy, all that stuff. But look, he's not in the cards as far as I'm concerned. And as I said, Corposalo and Elvis, are they going to do that? I don't know. They say they are. They say they're going to go with that. And if they're, you know, if they don't have any other options or better options via trade or free agency, then that is what they're going to go with. And I see that being really the likelihood to start the season. But Kincaid, look, I'm sorry. Just stop with it. Keith Kincaid needs to go somewhere where he can play. And it just doesn't seem like this is the place. Josh Anderson's ego says, seeing that we are, as of right now, $32 million, give or take, under the salary cap, do you see the Blue Jackets making any big moves out of left field, like with Mitch Marner, Wayne Simmons, Matt Zuccarello, etc.? Again, for Marner, you've got to have an offer sheet, and they don't have the right combination of draft picks to be able to do that. I can see Yarmo doing something there in free agency, but again, I don't see him doing something that is over the top and going crazy money like a lot of GMs will at this time of the year. Matt Zuccarello is a guy that appeals to me. When he played with the Rangers, he puts a puck in the net, and he goes to Dallas and he gets hurt right away, but he did a good job after he got healthy. Really helped them, especially in the playoffs. When you're looking for somebody that's going to take the spot of Artemi Panarin, I mean, he's not a Panarin guy. Not many are, but he's a really good player. I like that player. But again, that's another guy that, what's the price going to be and where does he want to be? If he re-signs in Dallas, don't forget, these things are real. There's no state tax in Texas. There's no state tax in Florida and in Tennessee. I saw a thing the other day where Matt Duchene could get offered $10 million by the Blue Jackets, get offered less by the Predators, and make more money because of the tax situation. That's a fact of life. And I've had people tell me that that doesn't matter to players, and I've told those people they're full of it. Because I guarantee you, if you said to me, you can play here and make this much, and you can play here and make this much more because of your tax situation, I'm probably going where the tax situation is. quite honestly. And look at the places I'm talking about. Florida, look at the climate. Texas, look at the climate. Even Nashville, look at the climate. Nashville's not, the climate, not what the other two are, but a bona fide year-in, year-out winner now, the Nashville Predators. And that carries a lot of weight, too. Right? I mean, the Florida Panthers have been terrible. But you go to work every day in shorts and flip-flops, and you have no state tax. Is that the worst thing in the world? I don't think so. And now they hope they can attract some guys that make them better on the ice. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be crazy. In fact, you might come away very... You could come away disappointed because they might just get to a point where they say, look, we can go spend all this money, but if we're going to spend it on the wrong guys, it's not worth it. We're just going to go young here, and then we're going to see what happens and if we can tweak it from there. I don't know that that's what they're going to do, but I could see it being a possibility. Next question. Trevor Kinney. Seen a lot of fans who want to go out and spend all the cap space this summer on mid-tier free agents. I feel like that's a mistake. Most fans are ignoring the restricted free agents, plus coming extensions for Dubois and Anderson. Those are coming next year, and Seth Jones the year after. Also factoring in a bigger deal if Elvis grows into what we hope that he will. It was going to a different tweet. I had to scroll up quickly. Basically, what I'm asking is, should fans temper their expectations as far as spending a ton of money in free agency this year due to the cap space that Yarmo needs to reserve for expiring deals in the next few years? Yes, that's basically what I was saying without putting in the part about the restricted free agents. Thank you, Trevor. That is a great observation. You're right. Zach Werenski's getting a raise this year. Dubois is going to get a raise. You're probably going to try to sign him longer term so you can keep him at a lower cap hit. When Seth Jones' contract is up, that's going to be the show me the money. And what I mean is, that's where the Blue Jackets have to spend that money, because you know darn well that's going to be money well spent. So to me, you know, that's, you got to have money for that. And Josh Anderson, he's going to get a big raise, especially what happened the last time where he held out, and the money he got and the money some other guys are getting, they're going to have to pay him. He's going to get his money. So that's a very good observation, Trevor. Very keen on that one. Craig says, guess a pleasant surprise for next season. My guess is that Bjorkstrand scores 30 and he and Texier develop a great chemistry. Oliver Bjorkstrand is a guy the Blue Jackets have been waiting for to start scoring goals consistently. And we saw it at the end of the year. So, that would be not only a pleasant surprise, it would be much needed for him to all of a sudden blossom into what they think that he can be and what he should be. So Oliver Bjorkstrand, he's a guy that they'll have their eye on, very much have their eye on. And Dubois got to produce more. You know, he did a good job, but then he kind of tailed off at the end this year. He's still young, but he's got to continue to get better, and I think he will. Let's see. Dan says, what are your thoughts about Ryan Murray? Stay, leave, salary, trade. Hate to see him go, but health is a big issue. Dan, it is the issue, quite frankly. It is the issue. If he could stay healthy and play like he was playing last year, you would find money to pay this guy. But he's been hurt so many times, and you just don't know if he's going to be able to stay healthy. You don't know what to do with him. So that is the problem with Ryan Murray. Quite frankly, I hope he stays. But if you can get something for him, if you can fill a need by using him as a trade piece, you got to do it. I think you have to do it. You got 55 games out of him this year. Boy, they could have used him in those other games, right? In the other, what am I missing here? 27 games. They could have really used him in those other 27. How about even in 24 of them or 22 of them? They really could have used him. They could have used him in the playoffs. I think it would have been a major difference had they had Ryan Murray. But now you've got guys that are stepping up. Dean Kukin looked very comfortable in the playoffs. Marcus Nudavara continues to get better. Scott Harrington found himself a role all of a sudden. And the Blue Jackets have some depth at that position. And if you can take a former number two overall pick and parlay that into something of need, then I think you very much have to look at doing that. Now, what is his value? What are other teams going to think that he's worth that? I can't tell you. But I can tell you that even though I'd like to see him stay, it's probably more likely the best bet for him not to stay and try to turn him into something else just because of his health. And if he goes somewhere else and he never gets hurt again and he plays every single game and he turns out to be an all-star and all that stuff, then that's a chance you take because it just hasn't happened for him here for whatever reason. And so maybe it's time to move on. But again, only if, in my opinion, only if you can get something good for him or something that you really need for him. Because otherwise, if he's healthy to start the year, let him start to play and then trade him during the year. If he's playing like he was playing last year, and if you can then take that and use it and trade him to get something else, great. Or if he's playing so well you don't want to trade him, that's great too. But I just think because of the injury history, maybe it's time to move on from that and try to better yourself using him as a tool and giving him an opportunity maybe to go somewhere else. So we'll see. We'll see. So many questions, so many directions this whole thing can go, and we still don't know where it's going. But we're going to be a lot more informed a week from now when free agency opens and people start actually signing with teams. We're going to have a much better idea what this Blue Jackets team is going to look like. Anyway, much better idea of some of the prospects on this team is what you're going to get when I do some more shows this week. Do one for you, let's say Wednesday. The schedule comes out tomorrow. We'll kind of look at that and break it down a little bit on Wednesday and let you hear from some of these top prospects that are looking to have a good development camp and looking, once again, to get themselves prepared for training camp in September. Don't forget that the on-ice sessions this week, Tuesday, 10 to 11 for Group 1, 11:30 to 12:30 for Group 2. Wednesday starts earlier. Group 2's on from 8:45 to 10. Group 1's on from 10:30 to 11:45. Thursday, 10 to 11 for Group 1, 11:30 to 12:30 for Group 2. And then Friday, Group 2 is on the ice from 10 to 11. Group 1 is on from 11:30 to 12:30. And then there is going to be a 3-on-3 tournament that is going to take place on Friday to wrap up development camp. You can find all of those details by going to bluejackets.com. And again, don't forget to check out the Dean's Charity Steer Show. I will have that information on Twitter. You can help me to raise some money for the Ronald McDonald House Charities as I'm going to show a steer at the state fairgrounds. And won't that be fun? Don't worry, I won't steer you the wrong way. That's going to do it for this off-season edition of CBJ in 30, presented by Tel Hio Credit Union. Until next time, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long.